Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 9. I would encourage you that before this day is over to read the first 12 verses. There are thoughts in this what appears to be just a brief historical passage, but gives us great insight. Beginning with verse 7, the scripture says, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rithaim, king of Aram, Naharaim, and to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. In 2012, on Thanksgiving Day, there was an experienced hiker in Northern California that decided to spend the day just by himself, taking a hike that he had really done many times before. He told his group of friends, he said, "I'll meet you late tonight and we'll go out and have a bite to eat together this evening," but he said, "I just sort of need the day by myself." At the end of the day, he didn't return, and his friends were somewhat concerned, but not over-concerned. They knew he was an experienced hiker, and that he was in the mountains, and he had taken that path before. They thought he just may have gotten delayed a little bit or got in a conversation with someone else that was in the mountains. But when he didn't show up all night long, they were concerned. They waited. They notified authorities on the Friday after Thanksgiving. They sent out a search team because they knew exactly where he was going. They didn't find him. They didn't find him until Sunday morning. A group of hikers several miles away found him. He was hospitalized, and after a brief recovery, there was a local media outlet in that area that did a follow-up, because on the days following Thanksgiving, it had been a lead story on the Friday and Saturday news, and often those are very low news days. And so they did a follow-up a week or two, several weeks later, I guess, after it was. And one of the questions they asked him was, "You're a very experienced hiker. How did you get that far off the path or the course that you were planning on taking?" His response was really interesting. He said, "Well, I was thinking about something else, and without realizing it, I got to my place and started off in the wrong direction." And he says, "And furthermore, I didn't realize I was lost until at the end of that Thursday Thanksgiving day. I thought it was just taking me longer to get there." Now think about it. He was thinking about something else, and he didn't even know he was lost. There is a spiritual parallel. There are many believers and followers of Jesus who've lost their way. Oh, it doesn't mean that they're no longer believers or followers in Jesus, but spiritually, they've lost their way. Sometimes it's easier to illustrate than it is to explain. Robert was a young man who had grown up in a Christian home. During his high school and college years, he lived faithfully for the Lord, married, had a family. He was a good father. During the early years, he and his family were in church every Sunday, and they were through most of his life. But in his early 30s, he became on a career track that was very profitable for him. And so he became consumed by his job. He became consumed in making money, and he was greatly involved in his kids' sports activities. Now, he still went to church. He neglected Bible reading. He neglected prayer. And life from the outside, Robert looked like he was still headed in the right direction. When his oldest daughter was a senior in high school, she went to a summer youth camp and she came back spiritually on fire. And when she came back, he was delighted to see that vitality in her. And she said, "Dad, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you alone over something very personal." He had assumed maybe she had some things to confess from her life, and he was hoping that she hadn't made choices that had ruined her life. But she says, "Dad, I hate to ask you this, but I need to. Are you a Christian?" He was surprised, shocked by the question. He says, "Of course I'm a Christian. Why would you ask that?" And she says, "All you think about is your job, making money, and sports. I don't think we've ever had a conversation or I've ever heard a conversation about anything that has spiritual meaning in it at all. The only difference is between you and most lost people I know is you go to church." Robert assured his daughter that he was a believer, but it was a defining moment in his life because he realized his daughter was right. There was no evidence that he was a follower of Jesus. He had spiritually lost his way. And Robert tells the story as a way of sharing with other men at men's conferences about how you can lose your way and stay in church. There are some spiritually who lose their way and drop out and aren't involved in the things of the Lord at all, but there are many who stay involved in the ritual and the rules but neglect the relationship. Well, what do you do if you're there? How did you get there to begin with? And what can we do to make sure in 2016, when all's said and done, that we haven't just been involved more in church, we haven't been just doing all of the, following all the right rules and participating in all the rituals? How can you and I know that we stay on track? We don't lose our way. Is there a word from God? There is a powerful word from God in the book of Judges. In order to understand this passage, chapter 3, you need to look at the big historical setting and allow us to go a little bit back into Old Testament history and then bring it up today. Remember, God's people had been slaves in Egypt, and God called and anointed and empowered Moses to lead them out and to lead them to a land that he had promised them. It should have been a rather short journey. But spiritually, God's people lost their way. It took them 40 years to get to the promised land because along the way, they were getting distracted spiritually. And as a result, they were not making it to where God had led them. After Moses died, Joshua, God called him, anointed him, and empowered Joshua to lead them fully into the promised land. They should have taken control of that area rather quickly. But again, God's people got distracted, and it took them much longer in order to experience the promise that God had for them. Joshua dies. Now there are regional leaders that we call judges, people who had responsibility for specific tribes and for specific areas. And when you think of a judge, don't just think about one who hears cases, although apparently they did some of that. But they were the political and military leader of that area. And during the time of Judges, the writer of the book of Judges, who is a historian, says, and it's a line that's repeated more than once in the Old Testament, the Israelites did evil in the sight of God. And then it says, they forgot the Lord their God. It is a description of how you lose your way. You forget God. Now, what does it mean to forget God? Did it mean that all of a sudden the people of God no longer thought about God existing? No, they believed in the existence of God. They knew the rituals. They knew the language. They knew all of the stuff in their head. But they were living as if there were no God. Now, there's a description, or really it's sort of a definition of what it means to forget God. To forget God is to ignore the promises, the responsibilities, and the provision that God gives us. It's not just ignoring there is a God, but those three dimensions. Now, this is a teaching message, and this is a very practical sermon today, and I want to take a moment to hear about how we forget God. We often assume, you know, we don't forget God. We're here in church this morning. We've already heard scripture read. Many of us were in Sunday morning Bible study. As a result, we don't forget God. But remember the definition. To forget God is to ignore the promises of God, the responsibilities, and the provision that God has given to us. Now, it's important that we do all three. There are some Christians that love to spend time reading only the promises of God. I'm not being critical of reading the promises of God. But if that's you can buy books that list, you know, the promises of God. If that's your only devotional book, you will sometimes get off track, because we need to know God's promise. There are others who go to the other extreme, and all they do is read God's responsibilities that He gives us. And they become legalists. They're ones who just read the promises only. They start to be entitled. Well, God promised it. He's going to give it. I just need to wait and receive it. God's going to give me anything I ask for, because He's promised whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. And all they do is read the promises. Then there are those who become the legalists, and they read the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, and they read all the rules and all of that, and that's all they focus on every day. What I got to do for God, if I have to do it for God, you've got to do it for God. They stay miserable. They make everybody else around them miserable. Very few focus on the provision that God has, and that is His presence with us in life. Now, in your daily devotion, over a long period of time, I hope you read the promises of God, you read the responsibilities that God has given you, and you accept the assurance that God has a provision for you. He has provided for your salvation, but He also provides that you may be able to keep the responsibilities that He has given to you. In the New Testament, we understand that provision to be the power of the Holy Spirit. We forget our way as Christians when we ignore the provision, the responsibility, and the promise of God. But what then do you remember? What does it mean to remember? It's interesting, in the secular world, there are many different theories on the reasons and causes of memory loss. But not long ago, I was reading where a writer describing severe memory loss, not just the occasional forgetting of a name and that process, but he said generally severe memory loss, it appears to him that there's sort of three steps. He says, you start to forget events, not details of events, but there are significant moments in your life you no longer even remember anymore. And again, remember, this is severe memory loss. He says it's as if those events never happened. He says, and then you start to forget people. He said, I don't mean forgetting people's names, but you look and see people and you have nothing in your cognitive memory that you've ever reacted or interacted with them before. It's almost as if they're a stranger. And he says, and then the last thing you forget is who you are. You have no identity about yourself. When we look at this passage of Scripture, you can almost see that pattern happening in God's people. What do we need to do? First, we need to remember what God has done for us. That sounds so elementary, but often when we think about what God has done for us, we put it in the context of the immediate. Well, God answered a prayer for me yesterday. God helped me to get feeling better. God gave me a good grade on a test. God helped me to have some friends and solve the issue we were dealing with. But in the big picture, it is choosing to think about what God has done for us. Now, what has He done for us? Remember, we're talking about the children of God. Well, in the Old Testament, what had He done for them? He had chosen them to be His people. He had led them through Moses out of the land of Egypt. He had provided for them as New Testament believers. What has God done for us? In God, through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled. Even though we've been separated from God, we now have God's favor upon us, not because we're good, but because God's good. Not only are we reconciled, we are forgiven of all of our past. We have the very presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We have a purpose and a mission for our life. And then we have the promise of everlasting life. Do you ever spend time intentionally thinking about the extent and the nature of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to experience salvation? We can remember the details. We remember what it felt like. We remember where we made our public profession of faith. We remember where we were baptized. Now, all of those are important, but we need to intentionally think about what God has done for us. We also need to think about the people that God has used in our life. There's a basic truth, and that is God reveals Himself through personality. That sometimes bothers us. But when God came to earth, how did He come? In Jesus. God came and was Jesus' personality? Yes, because remember, we're created in the image of God. God is spirit. But when you think of God as spirit, don't think about just something like a smoke or an aura that floats through. God is personality. And when God reveals Himself, He speaks to us through different people. In the Old Testament, it's like a biography book as you read how God spoke and acted through Abraham and then Moses and then David. And you read about the different prophets, and we know a little about their lives in the New Testament. It's about people. God uses people. Now, it's important for us, even though we have this daily relationship with God, we need to intentionally think about the people that God's used in our life. Because what happens if we don't? We start to push away the people that God uses. Ray is a gentleman who I knew his story. He was a young man who was a very successful businessman, was very involved in the life of his church. I was surprised when he would later tell me about the spiritual wayward years that he had. His wayward years, he never dropped out of church during it. There was no immorality. There were no drugs. There was nothing like that. But according to Ray, he said there was a time in his life He became very cold and distant with God. He said, I stayed involved at church. He said, and I became very involved in church politics. He said, I knew all of the gossip in the church. He said, I got interested in all the business dimensions of the church. But he said, I didn't want to get interested in anything that was very spiritual. He said, oh, I could argue theology for the fun of it. But he said, there was nothing that was really a vital relationship in life. And he said, through an event and the circumstances, he went through a spiritual renewal. And he says, as I began to reflect on my life, he said, I started to think, how did I get cold and bitter in my life? He said, as I thought through my story, he said, I realized for the last 3 or 4 years, I had intentionally stayed away from people who had influenced me in my early life spiritually. He said, for example, it was a part of a small church. Ray said there was an elderly lady in the church that would frequently say to him, Ray, how's your walk with the Lord? He said, I wasn't consciously aware of it. I wasn't consciously acknowledging it, maybe is a better way of saying it. He said, but I made sure I never saw her on Sunday morning. He said, when I went back to my hometown that I grew up in, he said, in my early days, I would have always visited with my football coach, who was an influence in my life. I would have always seen the FCA representative who helped me have some things in my life. But he says, I kept everybody at a distance who could challenge me in my heart. One of the ways we forget God is we deliberately ignore the people that He has put in our life to help us to grow. We deliberately push away those people who God has anointed and called and placed into our life. Now, when we look at that, as God's people, why are there so many stories in the Old Testament about the people of God, about individuals? Because when you and I abandon and neglect God's people, there's a word for that. The New Testament word is that we're not in fellowship. And by the way, fellowship is not the idea of having a meal at church. That's not a fellowship. Fellowship is not where everybody speaks to anyone. Fellowship is that sense of accountability. It is that spiritual bonding where we recognize that there are people that God has placed in my life and I'm accountable to them and they can hold me accountable and I can interact with them. We start to forget God when we leave them out of our life. We also need to intentionally think about who we are. Who are we? Well, when we define ourselves, first, we're created in the image of God. Second, we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. We have been filled with His Spirit. We have all of these dimensions. It's important for us to remember who we are. When we forget who we are, it's not long that we completely have God out of our life. Because if we're only thinking about the problems that we have, we've missed it. You need to think about who you are. But you also need to think. Now, we're talking about how to keep from forgetting, how to keep from losing our way. You have to intentionally think about the values of God. Now, that's where this passage is very insightful. It says they forgot God and they worshiped the Baals and the Asherahs. Baal and Asherah were two imaginary gods. And there were followers of Baal and followers of Asherah. And it was sort of a religion that you could make up as you went along, and the views and their philosophy in different parts of the world were different. But the religion of Baal was a continual temptation of God's people. They were tempted to follow it because of the natives in that area. And notice the passage, we didn't read all of it from the first seven verses. The scripture says that when they came into the promised land, God allowed some of the enemies to stay. And the enemies, the purpose of the enemy was to test or to make the people of God strong. As they resisted the enemy, that was to build strength. But instead of resisting the enemy, they began to adapt the practices of the enemy. And what did the enemy do? They worshiped Baal. They worship Asherah. Without going into too explicit detail regarding those religions, Baal was a god that you prayed to. He was considered one of the fertility gods. And it was the idea you prayed for them when you wanted an increase in the crop. It was an agricultural world, and you prayed for this god of fertility who would bring life to the plants. Not only was it for the increase of plants, the fertility gods and goddesses were very involved in sexuality. And there were even some places where in the Baal religion, there were prostitutes who worked in their temples, and you could assume you were doing something holy and sacred by engaging in immoral activity with a prostitute at the temple. It was perverted. It was sick because it was about the people having pleasure all of the time. And the god of Baal and the worship of Asherah often was where you turned to when you wanted to get out of a problem. You wanted Baal to intervene. These are imaginary gods. But what did they deal with? Basically, when you sum it up, it was false religions that dealt with property, so you could have an increase of property, so you could have an increase of pleasure through sex, and through getting rid of your problems. The three things. And by the way, that's what most false religions deal with. But what had God's people forgotten? The values. It's not just enough to know that thou shalt not. Parents, remember that. Your children need to know the values. And what are the values? Well, the values regarding possessions is that God is the giver and provider of everything, but it's not about for our accumulation. God gives to us so we can give to others. God gives to us so we can use for others. Yet there are many Christians that their prayer life, they still use the language of God. It's God, give me more stuff in order that I might have more stuff. What's the value of sex? Sex is not just for pleasure. Sex is a means of expressing love between a man and a woman in the context of Christian marriage. When it is just for the sheer pleasure of just having fun, that's where immorality comes in, rather than when it's a way of expressing love. And that's the value that God teaches. The Bible does not condemn proper sexual activity. It's a value, though. It's a value that it's an expression of love in the context of marriage. And what about problems? Do we simply pray? Do we get religious so God will take away all of our problems? Remember where this passage begins? God allowed the enemy to stay. He didn't just pull it away. He allowed him to stay because it says he wanted to test his people. Now, testing the people does not mean he was trying to get them to fail. It means it was a way of testing the people so that they could increase their strength. to remember God is to frequently think about the values of the Bible. Not just that thou shalt not. Remember, God's word is absolutely true, and everything that God prohibits is there as a gift to us. He keeps us from doing something that's harmful. Everything God calls us to do is a gift to us. It's not a God who's trying to limit us. But as you look on this passage of Scripture, if you know what it is to forget is simply to ignore the promises, the provisions, and the responsibility of God. We know what it is to remember. We've gone through those things. But what happens if you're in your life and you realize that you've lost your way spiritually? What do you do? Is it too late? Notice what the Scripture says. And the people cried out. They cried out to God. What does it mean to cry out? Is it just some type of emotional response? When the people of God cried out in the Old Testament, it is very similar to what it means in the New Testament to repent. For we are to reach out and cry out, and we are to acknowledge our need for God, and that God not only provides for us, it is our need for God, and that God is present. Now let me back up and say that again. When you know you've lost your way, you need to admit you need God. I'm cold, I'm indifferent, I've walked away from God. It is not promising God you're going to do 15 more things by next Sunday. God's people, they had neglected, they had forgotten, they had sinned against God. And now, it says, and they cried out, in other words, God, there's nothing we can do. You admit that you have a need, and then you acknowledge that God is present. Because we do not cry out to someone who is not there. We cry out, acknowledging that the God who created the heavens and the universe, the God that chose a people in the Old Testament, the God who sent His Son in the New Testament, the God who has given us His Spirit, He is aware that what we have done, and we're calling out and saying, God, forgive me. There's nothing I can do to correct it. And I am confident that you will. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. There may be some who look back over this last year, and you've come to the awareness, maybe as you've listened today, I'm going through the rituals. I'm following the routines. But I've lost my way, and I didn't even know it until today. What do? You confess it. You cry out. And you accept God's promise that His Son is the provision to forgive you not only of the sins before you were converted, but it continually forgives you of the sin. And you accept the responsibility that God has placed on you. This morning, it is my desire for you, and I hope it's your desire for me, that in 2016, we do not lose our way, and that we do not forget God, but we will remember what He has done, the people He has used, and who we are in Christ. Would you stand, please? I invite you to bow your heads for a moment of reflection. As you examine your life, I invite you to allow God to examine your life. He knows, He sees the crevices of our soul that we will not allow to be in the light. Maybe you look in your life and you're aware that you've lost your way. It's not by wicked things that you've done. You've just sort of walked away from God. You've forgotten about Him. There may be others this morning, and not only have you forgotten God, you've really walked away a long way off. You've resisted and resented God's call in your life, and God's spoken to you this morning and said, come home, come home. Maybe where you are, you need to open your life and say, I repent. I repent as a believer of walking away from you and forgetting you. There may be those this morning that you've never received the gift of God in your life. You've never received Christ. I invite you to open your heart to acknowledge that you are a sinner and invite Christ inside you to forgive you. For it's not pleading with Him to come in. He desires to be a part of us. Or there may be those that need to be a part of the church family or would simply like someone to pray with them at the start of this new year. In a moment, we'll sing an invitation and we invite you to respond. Father, may Your will be done as we come before You acknowledging who You are and through You who we can be and become. In Jesus' name, amen.